guessing? How long will you keep us in suspense? How long will you keep us guessing as to who you are? John notes that it was winter. And I don't know what the climate was like, but certainly there was a chilly wind of unbelief and of rejection beginning to blow amongst those Jewish religious leaders. Don't keep us guessing. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Who are you? Tell us who you are. Jesus was loath to say publicly that he was the Christ. They asked him, verse 24 of this passage that Patty read for us, they simply asked, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Are you one that God said would come? Don't keep us guessing. Tell us. Jesus is loath to answer the question publicly. He does answer it privately. If you remember his conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, I am he who stands before you. I'm God's son. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you're waiting for. He doesn't do it privately. Or he does it privately. He doesn't do it publicly. Jesus has a very clear view of who he is. But the Jews at that time also had a very definite political and... Somebody upstairs could probably tell me why I'm doing this here. I don't know. Or how to get rid of it. Jack, where's Jack? Jack around? Jack Simpson? No? Nope. Oh. There we are. Sorry, don't know why that keeps coming up. The Jews had this idea that the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, would be a political, a military leader. And that's not what Jesus was about. The Feast of Dedication, John says Jesus is in the temple for the Feast of Dedication. That was celebrating, commemorating a time when Judas Maccabeus overthrew the Syrians and rededicated the temple. It was a great time in Israel's history. They still celebrate Hanukkah to this day. The Feast of Dedication. A time when a political and military leader swept in, pushed the Syrians out, and rededicated the temple. A great highlight in Israel's history. But Jesus doesn't want to be that military and political leader. And so he points to the clues he has already given to them. How long will you keep us guessing? Jesus simply says, I've told you already. And here are the clues. The first one, his works, the things he's done, his miracles. Verse 25, John chapter 10. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, says Jesus. The things that I do in the name of my Heavenly Father, they speak for me. They're my witnesses. There's the clue for you if you're really looking. You've seen all this happening. You've heard the reports of 5,000 people being fed with a little boy's picnic lunch. You've heard the reports and you've seen the blind man who sat in this place and he was healed and his sight restored to him. You've heard these reports. Jesus, later on in this passage, verse 32, says, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. You want a clue who this is in front of you? Look at what he has done. Who could do such things? Who could do such things? But it's not just about his works. It's also about his words, the things that he says. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to what I say. My words have an impact on my people. He says outrageous things like, I and the Father are one. I am God's Son. Who could say such things? There are not many people around who can say these things. There are not many people around who can say, my sheep listen to my voice. I and the Father are one. I am God's Son. Who could say such things? And it's just like guessing who the person is. When you begin to put them together, there can be no other answer. When you begin to put all the evidence together, there can be no other answer than this is the Christ. This is God's Son. This is the promised one. This is the one that we've been waiting for. But the Jewish leaders still do not listen. Confronted with all the evidence, which points to one answer, they back off. And they bend down and they pick up stones, ready to deal with this Jesus who makes such audacious claims for himself. Mark, in his gospel, records an incident where the same sort of thing was happening. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and they're listening to people chatting all around them, people talking about Jesus. And Jesus turns to his disciples and simply says, "Who do people say I am? What's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? Who do people say I am?" And the disciples come back and they say, "Well, some of them think you're John the Baptist. He wasn't really killed by Herod, and you are John the Baptist who somehow come back to us. Others think you're Elijah. Other people think you're just one of the prophets." Lots of people say all these things. And they're happy enough talking about what everybody else is saying. And then Jesus looks them in the eye and simply asks this question, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" And there's that embarrassed silence. Who do you say I am? And there's Peter. Peter who answers, who looks Jesus in the eye and says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the promised one. You are God's son. This is who you are." And you can almost imagine Jesus cheering. "You've got it, Peter. You've got it. You've looked at all the clues. You've seen who I am. You've got it. I am the Christ." You and I have to answer the same question. In the light of all that Jesus has done, the miracles that we read of in the Gospels, in the light of his death upon the cross and his glorious resurrection from the grave, in the light of all of that, who do you say Jesus is? When we work down through all of the clues and put them all together, all of that evidence, who's Jesus? Who do you say he is? In the light of everything that Jesus has said about himself, who do you say that he is? It's not just a hypothetical question. It is the central question that you and I will ever ask ourselves. Who do you say Jesus is? Just as those disciples, Jesus looks them in the eye and says, "Well, what about you? Who do you say I am?" As those Jewish leaders said, "Don't keep us guessing. How long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us who you are." Jesus looks at us and says, "Who do you say I am?" This question makes a difference. The answer makes a big difference. For this is the Jesus in whom our sins are forgiven. This is the Jesus who went to the cross to pay the price for our sin, so that we might be forgiven. This is the Jesus who rose again, so that we might have a living way back to our Heavenly Father. The answer makes a big difference. It makes a big difference between existing and living. Jesus, we looked at it last week, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness, abundant life, full life. Real life. You can exist without Jesus. That's not a problem. Your heart will still keep beating for a while. But the Bible says you don't really live until you've got Jesus. I have come that you may have life, and life in all of its fullness." Makes a difference between existing and living. It makes a difference between spending eternity either in the presence of God or excluded from the presence of God, which is a terrifying thought. To be excluded from the very presence of God. To be excluded from from everything that flows from him that is good, that is right, that is true, that is beautiful, is an awful thought. How you answer this question makes a huge difference. Who do you say he is? It's a great question to ask over these next couple of weeks as we prepare to celebrate Easter, as we reflect back on all the events of that first Easter. It's a great question to ask ourselves. In the light of everything that happened on that first Good Friday, on that first Easter Sunday, who do you say he is? But here's the great thing. You don't have to guess. A few minutes ago, we were guessing who people were. Looking at some of the evidence and guessing who they were, you don't have to guess. Because Jesus clearly says who and what he is. There's no guessing involved. He reaches out to us with this gift of eternal life, a gift that he gives freely, a gift that is yours and mine to receive from him, simply to take it and receive it. Jesus said, verse 28, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's his promise. Who do you say he is? There is no more important question, for it will shape your today, it will make sense of your past, and it will also make sense of your future. Who do you say he is? It's the Christ, God's Son, the promised one who has poured his love into this world and waits to pour that love into your heart. All of us need to answer this question, and sooner rather than later. The Bible talks about now being the hour, today being the day. There's a sense of urgency as the kingdom approaches. Don't keep putting it off. Answer the question. You don't have to guess. Jesus tells us who he is. Let's pray together. Lord, we have a lot of questions that buzz around in our heads, some of them trivial, some of them very important, some of them far-reaching, but none as important and far-reaching as this. And so, by your Spirit, challenge each one of us. Help us, Lord, to look at the evidence and to bow the knee. And to you be all praise and glory through Jesus Christ, our risen and living Savior. Amen. Our children leave for Sunday school. And as we remain here, we're going to give our offering to God this morning in response to all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we're going to sing together, Faithful One. Gordy. Thank you.
Let me just keep our seats as we sing together. And then at a certain stage, we will all stand together as we lift our offering, singing just quietly and reflectively, Faithful One.
Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless One, You're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on You. call out to you.
As we approach Easter, we are reminded that you gave everything for us that we might live. Lord, in this act of offering, we just simply give back a token to you, but ask that you would use these, our offerings, our gifts, our tithes,